Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Biz Talk. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio this morning. My name is Tony Bush and my co-host, good buddy Jim Rossetti, is out today. He's got the day off. He picked a nice cooler day to be off. We have a good show for you this morning. In our studio this morning is Mr. Kurt Haling of Alberts and Haling CPA Firms. So we're going to get to Kurt in just a few minutes. I just want to do a little intro on the program like we normally do every week and welcome you to this program. It benefits the SCORE chapter here in Appleton. This Biz Talk program is hosted by Jim and I, both SCORE counselors. And this program benefits our SCORE chapter in the sense that it gets people, it makes people aware of the SCORE chapter, that we are located in eight counties from Appleton through Fond du Lac. And the SCORE chapter is in the business of offering free counseling services to entrepreneurs who are looking to start or grow their businesses. If you have a question on accounting, IT, marketing, manufacturing, intellectual property law, any issues like that, please consider contacting the SCORE chapter, and you can do that by going to www.scorefoxcities.com. Go to our website, read about our chapter, and if you're interested in requesting some assistance, please fill out the application online, hit the send button, and probably within 3 to 4 or 5 days, someone will be contacting you to schedule an appointment. I'd like to mention again that this is free counseling. SCORE is a national organization affiliated with the Small Business Administration, which was started back in the 60s, and it's designed to help entrepreneurs be successful. The program is brought to you each week by our sponsors, who include Associated Bank. We want to thank them for their long-term sponsorship of our program, Alberts and Haling CPA Firm, Sawaski Law, Lakeview Credit Union, and we also have Guidant Business Solutions, and we have another sponsor started last week, and we welcome them, is the Better Business Bureau. So we Better Business Bureau is a very good organization, and any consumer can basically go to the Better Business Bureau and check out the qualifications and the quality of the service they'd be getting from their vendors. So with that, we'd like to welcome you again to the program. We're going to take a short break. We'll be coming back on the other side. I'll give out some phone numbers. We encourage you to call in. You'll have some good questions for Kurt Haling, our guest this morning. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio.
Ignored? Invisible? Did you ever feel that way around the pretty girls in high school? That's how some of our business members felt about doing business with big banks.
Hi, I'm Dave Bennett.
And I'm his brother, Tim. Together we own a company called Visionary Metals.
We switched our business accounts to Lakeview Credit Union after a large national bank told us we were no longer a good fit for them.
If your business isn't big enough to get the attention you think you deserve from your bank, take a look at Lakeview Credit Union. I'm Pat Loney, and I've been president for 18 years. We may not be the most popular financial in town, but we'll definitely take the time to make sure you get the right loan and the right accounts to fit your business.
We chose Lakeview because of their personal touch and grasp of how small businesses need support from their financial institutions.
Get the right partner for your business. Contact us for a confidential, no-cost analysis of your current business accounts. Call 729-5100 or check us out online at lakeviewcu.org. Money made easy at Lakeview Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
LLC or S-Corp?
How do I get my business running?
Not sure how to get your business venture off the ground? Let Alberts and Haling help you properly set up your business right from the start. We're big enough to handle all of your business startup needs, yet small enough to give you the attention you deserve. Call Alberts and Haling CPAs today at 888-929-9492 for your tax, investment, and consulting needs. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Alberts and Haling CPAs are non-affiliated entities.
Hi, I'm Joellen Wallen, your Better Business Bureau Northeast Wisconsin Regional Manager. BBB accredited businesses share our vision of an ethical marketplace. For them, trust is a contract, and honesty, integrity, and ethics are standard operating procedure. Consumers looking for a plumber, home remodeler, accountant, or veterinarian prefer to start with trust, and there's no better place than wisconsin.bbb.org. And for business owners, there's no better business decision than applying for BBB accreditation. Do it today.
As the number one SBA lender in Wisconsin, Associated Bank has been helping small businesses grow for over 120 years. By getting to know you, your business, and the goals you hope to achieve, Associated is able to offer a wide range of financial solutions to help you run your business more efficiently and save you time and money. If you're interested in learning more about the financial solutions Associated offers to business owners, visit an Associated branch or AssociatedBank.com. Loan subject to credit approval, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC, and Associated Bank Corp.
And good morning and welcome back to BizTalk. My name is Tony Bush, and this morning we're going to be talking with Kurt Haling, one of the partners at the CPA firm Albertson Haling CPA. Good morning, Kurt.
Morning, Tony. How you doing?
I'm fine. Welcome back to our program. As a sponsor, we're glad to have you back on.
I was glad to be here.
Well, the accounting business is kind of interesting. Things have calmed down a little bit for your schedule since April.
It calmed down a little bit. We're only working 40 hours a week this week these days.
I know that's quite a rush for you when the tax season comes along. Kurt, we have talked about different accounting issues for small business owners or business owners or even those who are thinking of starting up. And being an accountant and a CPA and being tuned into the business community, the small business community and individuals, tell us about yourself and your firm and what sort of practice you have.
Well, we've got two offices, one here in the Valley and one up in Green Bay. My partner Jim Alberts runs the office up in Green Bay. We've got staff in both offices, besides just myself and administrative people. We've got additional staff accountants, including another CPA, who help out on the day-to-day type things and kind of keep a good pulse on the clients that they're working with regularly. Working with small business owners, anything from a one-man shop who's maybe got something going on the side to our biggest clients have maybe 30, 35 employees mm-hmm. and are doing 8, 9 million in sales on the high end. Mm-hmm. And the fun thing with those clients is those clients are clients that we've worked with since they were small businesses.
We grew with them.
And we kind of grew with them from the beginning stages, and now there's one that we're working with where they're actually working on bringing in additional owners, new owners, and taking the current owners and kind of phasing out a little bit and starting to cash in their chips a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So your firm is basically one that works with young businesses and grows with them. But along the way, you've learned how to communicate and relate with those people and understand what their challenges are and educate them.
Yeah, and what we try and do and what we've gotten complimented on over the course of time is the fact that we sit down and have conversations that are on the a kitchen table type level mm-hmm. as opposed to going through a lot of accountant speak, mm-hmm. you know, in talking about things with respect to not just here's the rules, but here's how to apply them, here's how it works in the real world, instead of getting technical in situations where the business owner can't necessarily understand it. And that's where we really strive to kind of keep the one-on-one relationship with the business owners as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had some experience with your firm personally in what I do with my company, Prior Cash Flow Management. Your firm gets involved with your client when the client needs to go pursue some financing at a lending institution.
We get involved with that as well because there's a lot of information that obviously the banks need from the accountant, tax returns and occasionally projections, as well as internal financial, you know, interim financial statements. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the bankers will call and just kind of quiz us a little bit and get a general feel for the business owner as well. Are mm-hmm. they on top of things? What's your comfort level with how they're running the business? Mm-hmm. And they'll bounce those questions off of us, sometimes formally, sometimes informally over the phone, but it kind of gives them a little bit more confidence level in the person they're lending to.
Absolutely. When I was in lending, I would call the accountants, as you just stated, And many times I would have to call the accountant to get an answer to a question, like why is the leverage ratio going up or debt service coverage going down or what's happening with working capital, because the business owner didn't understand that. And that's good to have the accountant help, but it's the business owner who's making the daily decisions, creating those numbers.
And that happens more than you'd care to see it happen.
Right.
We get phone calls. I got this last month. I've been working with a client who's redoing their loan, and the business lender was calling fairly regularly, questioning the financial statements and how they're put together. And this is our first year working with that client. So we were able to go through the 2010 numbers and the first part of 2011 numbers. But in comparing them to 2009, I said, I can only tell you what happened in 2010 previous. I can't tell you why it's different from 2009 and previous, because we don't know what happened in those years.
But that raises an interesting question. If accounting is driven by generally accepted accounting principles or GAAP, then why wouldn't one accountant be able to, you know, respond to what another accountant did? What are some of the differences, Kurt, when accountants prepare annual financial statements for companies?
It may be as simple as how they classify things on the financial statements. You know, is it a repair or is it supplies? And it may be something, are they capitalizing assets that another accountant might expense? And by capitalizing, I mean putting those in the business and depreciating them as opposed to writing them off directly. There may be a different threshold that they use for that. From the accountant stand, each accounting firm does things just a little bit differently, and I guess the best answer I can give you for that, Tony, is it's the same reason as if you call the IRS and ask them a tax question and then call a different IRS office and ask a tax question, you may get two completely different answers.
Okay, and probably, too, some of it lies in the worksheets that the accountant is using to support the final product. There might be some assumptions in the worksheets that don't come out when you see the final product.
Exactly. And the other thing that happens is it may depend on the communication with the client. For instance, we may be taking a client over for the first year, and so we may be asking questions that the old accountant hasn't asked for 7 or 8 years, and they've been doing the same way year after year, even though things have changed inside that company.
Right. I'd like to give out the phone numbers, Kurt, so if anyone has a question for you, they could call in this morning. If you're in the Appleton area, please call us at 281-1150, 281-1150. In Green Bay, it's 271-1150, 271-1150. And if you're outside those two areas, call us on the Metricom toll-free line, 1-866-887-1150. Kurt, share with us some of the things that you see business owners need to improve on in terms of their accounting. And what are the consequences of not having a better understanding of their accounting or bookkeeping?
Well, there's a couple of things that you see. Number one is accounting is often looked at as a necessary evil.
I hate it.
and it's not the most fun thing in the world for...
It's not
for,
fun to do.
No, I'm a little bit warped in that sense because no. I kind of like doing it.
But some people who are entrepreneurs are good at doing what they do in their business, but when it comes time to accounting for it all and logging it in and entering it in an accounting system, that's kind of like busy work, and not everybody's prone to doing that. It takes a lot of effort to get up and do that.
It takes a lot of effort to get up and do that, and it pulls you away from what you do well inside
right.
the business as well. So from that standpoint, the business owner may not necessarily have to do it all himself, but he better find somebody who can do it
exactly.
and do it for him competently, not just from a CPA firm standpoint, but for the internal day-to-day accounting as well.
Is that the difference between bookkeeping and accounting? What is the difference?
There's a big difference. In fact, there's some small business owners that we work with who work with what we call bookkeepers for hire, who will come in maybe one day a week or twice a month or something, and they'll enter the data there. They'll enter do the check entry for you. They'll enter the payroll. They'll
reconcile
the bank statements, things like that. And a lot of that is historical data entry, and from that standpoint, that's what I consider to be the bookkeeping, is the historical data entry and making sure it gets in the computer and gets classified properly. I look at the accounting end of it, and this is, I think, where we separate ourselves a little bit. I look at the accounting end of it as being more proactive and taking those numbers and what do they mean, How's it going to work out for the end of the year from a tax planning standpoint, as well as from a cash flow standpoint and a business management standpoint?
So at that level, you're getting into the strategic part of the operation. You're trying to take the historical information, see where it's trending from quarter to quarter or year to year, and then what's going forward.
Exactly, because then what happens is you can plan for some of these situations that may come up so that you don't run into surprises.
Surprises.
Right, because we've heard of...
IRS.
It can be IRS surprises, or it could be cash flow surprises, and we didn't see something coming. We didn't see a certain trend coming.
It could be a customer left your firm and left a void in your sales volume, and now you have to make that up.
It could be that, or it could be your product price is increasing as you buy it, and you need to adjust your sales price accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the fact that as you're adjusting your sale price, maybe your competition, what's your competition doing, and how can you stay within that and stay competitive?
Now, the bookkeeping, you said some companies will hire someone to come in, a bookkeeper come in one day a week or half a day a week or every couple weeks. The business owner, I always maintain when I talk to my clients that the more the business owner understands about their cash flow, then the better their decisions will be, because they'll have an idea of the impact on their cash flow for that decision. But if they don't know the numbers and they're making these decisions, it can be pretty dangerous.
It can be pretty dangerous, and as they're making those decisions, what happens is it can be as small as, well, do we do a company outing, or do we do a big Christmas party, or just have something internal? But that $500 decision is going to impact something a mm-hmm. month down the road.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that comes into play on the flip side of that from a management standpoint is collections and receivables, and being able to manage and understand where your receivables are at, and understand where who owes you money, who's paying on time, who isn't, and being able to, you know, rattle some cages to collect the money, or do you even continue to do business with that customer? And sometimes that's a hard decision to make.
It is, especially when you don't have a lot of customers.
Exactly.
We're going to take a quick break here, Kurt. We'll be coming back on the other side. We'll give out the phone numbers again. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio.
401k or simple IRA?
I need a plan for me and my employees.
Not sure what retirement plan is best? Let Albertson Healing set up your unique program and help keep it running smoothly. We're big enough to handle all of your business investment needs, yet small enough to give you the attention you deserve. Call Albertson Healing CPAs today at 888-929-9492 for your tax, investment, and consulting needs. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Healing CPAs are non-affiliated entities.
Owning a small business is tough.
One way to make it easier is to do your business banking with Lakeview Credit Union.
Lakeview is a small business too, and as president, I think it's important for us to take the time to work with our members. So I hired Chip Coonan, who's committed to helping businesses succeed.
Like Tim and Dave Bennett of Visionary Metals. They moved all their business accounts to Lakeview after a large bank told them they were no longer a good fit.
Are you tired of the way your bank is treating you?
Give me a call at Lakeview. You'll find great service for all your borrowing and deposit needs, including better rates and lower fees. Plus, all our decisions are made locally.
Chip has more than 25 years of financial experience and will be happy to give you a confidential, no-cost analysis of your current business accounts.
And if we can save you money, we'll show you exactly how. Give us a look. We have great rates, excellent terms.
And Chip,
call 729-5100 or check us out online at lakeviewcu.org.
Money made easy for your business at Lakeview Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
Hi, I'm Joellen Wallen, your Better Business Bureau Northeast Wisconsin Regional Manager. BBB accredited businesses share our vision of an ethical marketplace. For them, trust is a contract, and honesty, integrity, and ethics are standard operating procedure. Consumers looking for a plumber, home remodeler, accountant, or veterinarian prefer to start with trust, and there's no better place than wisconsin.bbb.org. And for business owners, there's no better business decision than applying for BBB accreditation. Do it today.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. We're in another segment right here, and this morning we're talking with Kurt Haling, one of the partners in Albertson Haling CPA firm located in Appleton and Green Bay. And we've been talking about the accounting practice in the business, understanding accounting in a business, and how to apply it. And if you'd like to give us a question, if you have a question for us, give us a call at 281-1150, 281-1150 if you're in the Appleton area. If you're in the Green Bay area, call us at 271-1150. And if you're outside both those areas, call us on the Metrocom toll-free line, 1-866-887-1150. Kurt, during the break, we were talking a little bit about the things we mentioned in the first segment this morning. And we were talking about, like, warning signs. If a business is operating and the accounting firm has been retained and they're doing the annual taxes, bookkeeper coming along and helping out every week with bookkeeping services to help the whole process. What are some warning signs that you look for when a business may not be going well?
Couple things that we look for are obviously the cash flow end of it. And even from the business owner's standpoint, it's something that you kind of monitor yourself if you're starting to hit your line of credit a little harder than you used to historically, or if you don't have a line of credit but you have to put $1,000 in the business here, a couple thousand there, and next thing you know you've got $10,000 invested back into the business. You got to say, why do I have to do this?
Or maybe the payables are getting
payables are getting high and you're starting to get collection calls, and why aren't we able to get this money in here?
Mm-hmm.
And we can see that a lot of times from a historical standpoint, but sometimes we can actually see that coming. We can kind of tell whether it's just a blip in the road or whether there's a real problem coming.
And it is very, very important, because you mentioned getting money in here. That's accounts receivable. And we also referred to going to the line of credit too much, maybe to pay operating costs or pay vendors for suppliers and so. It's inventory and receivable are two real critical assets in any company. And right. If you have both of them, they can. If one of those is not being managed right,
you can run into some real problems.
Fast,
and
real fast.
Situation that I saw on the positive side this spring and summer is I work with an auto collision center whose business has actually gone up quite significantly, obviously because of all the storm damage we've had. And in doing that, he hired a new employee. And what that allowed him to do was get back into the office and do the purchasing. So when I was looking at his financial statements through May and June, what we saw was his sales had increased, which was understandable given the situation.
Sure.
But I looked at it, and the question I had for him, I said, Joe, what's going on here? Because your cost of goods sold, your purchases are the same level they were, even though your sales are increasing. Is there something we're missing here? And he says, no, actually, I got back in the office, and I'm doing all the buying myself now.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a huge difference on his bottom line.
Well, he was going back to working on his business and not just in the business.
Exactly, because an auto collision center is actually a good example where the more time you're spending back in the shop, you're working in the business, the more time you're spending in the office, you're working on the business.
And every business owner, whether it's a service business, a manufacturing business, whatever it is, needs to take time and thoughtfully reflect on where the business is going. Take some quiet time and do some strategic thinking.
And you do need to do that, and you need to do that not at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon when
right.
you're thinking about the weekend. You need to do some proactive time. Just block off some time, lock yourself in the office during the week, and mm-hmm. and think about those things. And while you're thinking about those things, have some meetings with the banker, have some meetings with the accountant, and anybody else that's a key representative for you.
Maybe a score counselor.
Score counselor would help also.
Someone to help out and just give you some thinking points or talking points to think about, some things to address. It's always very helpful for an entrepreneur when they can reach into the experience of another person who's already done that, and then the entrepreneur may not have to learn the same lessons the hard way.
Yeah, trial and error is an expensive way to learn those lessons.
Yeah, we always want to try to keep our tuition as low as possible, so we'll make a better decision by consulting someone who's already been there. Kurt, in terms of accounting practices and watching a company's trend analysis, the current ratio, their equity, their profitability, the margins, Are there any comparisons that you would recommend, like industry comparisons that people can refer to and say, how am I doing?
There are. There's industry standards, and you can, a lot of times you can find these on the internet. You can find things that might be related to your industry, and you might think, well, I'm so small, how are they going to have that on the internet? But there are some search engines that you can find that can do that. just had one that fell off the tip of my tongue here, too, now. There are search engines you can check into, and the other thing you can do is talk to the professionals as well and say, does this make sense for my
right.
business? Do you have any other clients that are like mine that, and, you know, not necessarily giving away company information, but are we in line with them? You know, does it make sense? And the lenders a lot of times will even tell you that too, because they've got standards that they hold to, and they've got that same information. Where should an auto collision center come in, for example, or where should
right.
a manufacturing come in on these certain ratios?
You raised a good point with lenders, Kurt. If you go to the lending institution and you're the auto collision guy and you've got your loans at that bank or at that credit union, chances are that the lender has other auto collision customers.
Exactly.
And they develop an awareness and a little bit of an expertise in that industry, and they know what good trends are and what bad trends are. But you don't need to pay the banker an hourly rate. Take the banker to lunch, go golfing, pick their brains, and get that knowledge.
And the other thing that does is that helps develop
a
relationship with
yep.
that lender, so that when something does come up, they know it and it's not coming as a surprise.
Exactly. And the lender has available to them, many lenders have this available, it's the RMA Industry Statement Studies.
Robert Morris Associates, that's what I was thinking.
It's now called the Risk Management yep. Associates. Robert Morris is
yep.
the old name.
Yep.
That's right. It's called the RMA Statement Studies. And the lenders offer those to business owners free of charge. All the business owner really needs is their NAICS number, which they can Google.
Right.
And find out what that six-digit number is, take it to the lender. If they can't find the number, their lender will help them find it.
And sometimes it might be an industry that they've got to sit down and say, okay, where do we really
right.
fall in, or do we fall more into this category or that category?
Yep.
And that's where it might take a little bit of tweaking, but you can at least get a general idea.
Get a general idea. And then those statement studies develop the industry standards for different size companies by asset and different size companies by sales. So you can put your company in the column that matches the asset and sales size, and you get a pretty good idea of where maybe you should be on your net worth and on your margins and so on.
And they do get to the small companies. I mean, they've got columns for $250,000 sales and under, $500,000 sales and under. So it's not a situation where you might be too small to fit into the category.
Mm-hmm. And then there are other comparisons, too, like industry comparisons. The restaurant industry has some standards.
Exactly.
The sign industry has standards. I think real estate has some standards as well. So check out your industry and any associations that are involved with your industry to see if that association is collecting industry standards as well.
Exactly, because most of those associations do have that information. And on the flip side, being able to contribute to that will help them get more accurate information as well.
Mm-hmm. Kurt, getting back to warning signs, we talked about cash flow issues, payables, line of credit is getting hit a little harder than we expected it to get hit. No matter what we're doing, if the business owner doesn't have an annual budget and then compare regularly how they're performing to that budget each month or at least every year, quarterly or monthly, if they don't do the budget and compare it, they're not going to know.
Exactly, and I'll give you my own example because we try to practice what we preach here occasionally. But I've got on my computer four reports up that I can pull up on a moment's notice mm-hmm. at any time. First is the balance sheet, and that's and I do it as an annual comparison balance sheet compared to the previous year. P&L, a year-to-date P&L, accrual basis. And then I'll have another one that's on cash basis to make sure our collections are where they should be. And then the third one I've got is comparison to budget.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll have a year-to-date and a month-to-date and comparison next to it. And all that can come off of QuickBooks, too. So those
mm-hmm.
I have all those on QuickBooks regularly, and we monitor that. And when something starts getting out of whack, then, okay, do we need to start making some collection calls? What do we need to do here?
And doing that every month, is I'm a strong proponent of those monthly reviews, because if you go 6 or 7 months without looking at this information, there may be a problem festering for 6 or 7 months, and by the time you recognize it, you may not recognize it from your financial statements. You may recognize it because someone called you up and was complaining about something.
Exactly.
Now it's too late.
And now it's too late. And the other thing that happens is if you wait that long to get your information, well, now you've got to think back, okay, what happened in January or February? What caused it? And then if you're asking people internally, well, if you ask three different people internally, they might have three different recollections of what happened. If you stay on top of it regularly, it's going to be fresh in your mind.
In putting the budget together, too, I like to encourage business owners to give an explanation of why you used that number for the whole year. So if we're going to budget utilities, why is it that number all year? Why does it change every month or every quarter? Wages, purchases for supplies for production purposes. Why are we using the numbers we're using? And when we're sitting down doing the budget, we're thinking, we're articulating well. We're usually talking to our accountant or maybe some other folks in the business or our spouses, coming up with good thoughts and good explanations. Capture those, write them down, because 8 months later, when the skid steer salesman walks in the door and says, I've got a special on skid steers this month, would you like to buy a couple? And you need one or two. You'll have something to go back to and remember, what was I thinking about capital purchases? Why was it this number?
And that makes a lot of sense. And the other thing that happens when you do it that way is what you'll find is you'll see the bumps in the road coming ahead of time.
Exactly.
Because you'll be able to see, okay, here's how much we're going to have to borrow our line. If there's some seasonality to the business, what's the historical trend been? And even if you're a startup, you may not be able to get a historical trend from your own business, but you should have some industry knowledge to know what are the trends going to be. It's mm-hmm. not going to be straight, smooth sailing all year long without any ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. Another way that I know a fella here in the Valley who owns a company, and it's a very successful company. He's owned it for a long time, second generation. And one way he keeps his finger on the pulse of that company is he signs every check. Every check. This is a big company, over 10, 20 million in sales. But he signs every check.
And there's a lot to be said for that. And but that's a good way to keep your finger on it, because then what people will do, and I've heard of this being done before, is they'll pull out every 10th or 20th check, mm-hmm. and they'll say, well, what's this invoice for? Can we get a better price on this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when was the last time we researched this? And they'll do it right, not just necessarily for their vendor purchases, but they'll also do it right down to the internet company they're using or other the office supply company they're using.
Mm-hmm.
And go back to the person that's in charge of purchasing and say, let's go back and review this and make sure that this is accurate or reasonable. Can we get this better discounts?
All the people in the company appreciate the fact that somebody's looking at this and there's some accountability in the system. If everything's automated and we're just looking at reports, we don't feel the numbers the same is when we get involved and get our fingers into the numbers.
Yeah, then you're kind of working like the government.
Yeah, there you go. But tell me, Kurt, we've been talking about a process. We've been talking about bookkeeping and the strategic thinking that you mentioned earlier, sitting down with the accountant and brainstorming about the big picture. How does that system work? How does bookkeeping data get into the accountant's hands? What's an efficient way to do that?
Well, with today's technology, it's actually pretty easy to do. What you can do is simply email over the P&L and balance sheet. A lot of times if you're using a QuickBooks system, for instance.
That's the key. You have to use a system, right?
Yeah, you've got to use a system, whether it be QuickBooks or Peachtree or whatever is appropriate for your business. Not necessarily doing plugs there, but whatever is appropriate for your
business.
They
are the two big ones.
They really are, and they're pretty user-friendly. Peachtree is probably a little bit better in a manufacturing-type setting.
For the inventory stuff.
But for retail and service businesses, QuickBooks is probably by far the leader, 10-to-1.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the ones that we see most often. And what can happen is you can simply email those files over to the accountant, and not only can we take a look at it for accuracy for what the bookkeeper's doing and how the things are getting classified, but we can also take a look at them from a strategic planning standpoint and from a budgeting forecasting standpoint and tax planning standpoint as well.
And that builds that line of communication between the entrepreneur and the accounting firm.
Exactly. So you don't get to April 15th and find out that
here's
you owe $20,000.
Yeah. On that note, Kurt, we're going to take another break. We'll come back on the other side for the final segment of the program. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio.
Payroll, taxes, bookkeeping?
I just can't handle it all.
Have the financial demands of your business become too taxing? Let Albertson Healing give you the personal service you desire. We're big enough to handle all of your business tax and accounting needs, yet small enough to give you the attention you deserve. Call Albertson Healing CPAs today at 888-929-9492 for your tax, investment, and consulting needs. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Healing CPAs are not affiliated entities.
If you're looking for a business banking partner, consider Associated Bank. They've been helping businesses meet their financial goals for over 120 years. Associated understands the need to streamline your operation to help your business run smoothly and efficiently. That's why they offer fast, easy, flexible tools to help you manage your cash flow and quickly and securely access your account information. If you're looking to enhance productivity and profitability of your business, visit an Associated Bank branch or AssociatedBank.com. Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC and Associated Bank Corp.
If protecting your small business and your assets are important to you, then you will need the right attorney on your team. You wouldn't go into battle without proper protective gear. Why would you expose your business or personal assets to a world of litigation and legal entanglements? Anner Tel Sawoski has been helping small business people for years. She has been a shield of protective armor for her clients, and she's ready to assist you. If you're setting up a legal entity, signing a lease, entering a contract, creating a buy-sell agreement, or any number of legal decisions are facing you, give Anna a call at 920-687-1730 right now. Put her on your team.
Hi, I'm Anna Ertel Sawoski from Sawoski Law, and I protect business owners like you every single day. I provide proactive legal services to help protect your business and avoid legal problems. Put an experienced business attorney on your team. Call me now at 920-687-1730. That's Sawoski Law at 920-687-1730.
And welcome back to the final segment of Biz Talk this morning. I've been talking with Kurt Haling, and partner at the Albertson Haling CPA firm here in Appleton and in Green Bay. We had a good discussion on the role of the accountant and how entrepreneurs can improve the efficiencies and the importance of strategic planning. With all of that, Kurt, behind us, we wanted to dedicate a little time in this final segment to tax planning.
Well, we've been talking a lot about cash flow planning and things like that. And if you do a good job of managing your cash flow, managing your balance sheet and P&L, you're going to have some profits in business, and you're going to get the pleasure of paying taxes. And so the next step in the process then is tax planning, which is a meeting that should be happening somewhere between October and December with all the business owners, so that we've got an understanding of where they're at in during the year and can plan out the tax end of it for them, so that they don't get to April 15th and say, oh, gee, here's a $20,000 bill, and they have no idea on how they're going to pay it.
I had a client one time who was told by their CPA firm in September that everything looked good and that this is going to be your projected tax at the end of the year. Just keep going the way you're going. And they did. They had a good year. Nothing extraordinary happened in the fourth quarter. There were no tax law changes. The same accountant came to prepare the taxes for the January 15th report, and then they're due on March 15th, the corporation?
The corporate returns for March 15th, yeah.
Yeah. It was $100,000 higher than what he had estimated.
How does that happen?
Yeah, exactly. So fortunately, the gentleman and his wife were able to save up the money. They were good savers, and they had that cash available. They didn't have to go borrow the money.
Right, because what happens after the first of the year is there's really nothing you can go back and do from a planning standpoint other than maybe throw some money into a retirement plan, and that depends on whether or not you fall into the qualifying rules or not even.
So that 12/31 date is critical, and you can't start on 12/30.
Exactly.
Start in October.
I have had people that have gone out but trying to buy equipment between Christmas and New Year's because of the fact that they were looking like they had more profit than they thought they did. And we said, well, one of the things you can do is buy some equipment. We can write that off. And they've been shopping over that week of Christmas and New Year's.
So if they find out at Christmas, it's a nice Christmas present to realize you have more profit than you thought you had, wouldn't they have known that if they were doing a monthly review with you and they would see that coming? It wouldn't be such a big surprise.
Exactly. They'd have a better handle on it. And even if they weren't doing a monthly review, if they had good internal financials, they'd understand that as well. And sometimes the thing that happens is we get towards the end of the year like that, and we'll say, well, here's how much profit you've got. And they say, well, where is it? It's not in my checkbook. And I'll say, well, exactly. You bought this. You paid off this debt. You paid off this credit card. That's where the money went.
Look at the balance sheet.
Right. Look at the balance sheet and see what's changed since the beginning of the year. But a lot of times we hear that at least once a year of, well, how can I have that much profit? Where is it? It's not in my checkbook.
I always say cash flow generates profit. Profit does not generate cash flow.
Exactly.
Because it ends up on a balance sheet, either in lower liabilities or more assets or something.
Exactly.
Most of it anyway. Kurt, what is one or two quick strategies we're running low on time, but one or two quick strategies for tax planning?
One of the ones that we talk about a lot of times, especially if it's from a profitability standpoint and how to keep it lower, is there with most businesses, you can write off new fixed assets in the first year. And even if you don't necessarily pay for it 100% in the first year, so that means if you finance it, you can still get that write-off in the first year. Now, that gets back to a cash flow situation again, because you can do that so many years in a row, and all of a sudden you financed how much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're making that kind of profit, you should be able to cover the cash flow, but that's something that needs to get computed.
Debt is one of the biggest burdens on cash flow.
Exactly.
It's not just the operation of the company.
Exactly. And the other side of it is you can put some money away for retirement planning as well for yourself.
Yep.
Because most business owners have 90% of their net worth is in their business. And so if you can pull some out of the business and put it in some more traditional investments, that will help you to diversify yourself a little bit in case the business does take a downturn.
The way our economy is going these days, people need to be very prudent and conscious and aware and determined and persistent about retirement.
Exactly, because it's
never too late to start.
It's never too late to start, and the issue that comes up is when you get to the end of the day with your business, nobody's going to come knock on your door and say, gee, good job, you've had this business for 20 years, you did a great job, here's a check for $2 million. You've
right.
got to have a succession plan for that business on how you're going to get out of it as well.
And the last point I'd like to make there is if someone's going to give you a check for $2 million, it's because they're buying the cash flow of the company, they're not buying the assets of the company.
Exactly.
Kurt, I'd like to ask you for a biz tip. We do that each week with our guests.
Biz tip that I would have is you can either... I was just going to drop one in here. Poor planning prevents...
Planning to fail is failing to plan.
Exactly.
Or failing to plan is planning to fail.
Exactly.
So plan, and keep your accountant involved because you have to know where the numbers are going.
Exactly.
Kurt, thanks a lot for being our guest this morning.
Thank you very much.
Better. Next week, our guest is going to be Music Gem Publishing. Gary E. Myers, a California author, will be on the phone with Jim Rossetti. He's going to talk about his books and how he got into that business and the challenges of that business. I'd like to wish you all a very good week. We'll talk to you next week, and you've been listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio.